This week on Art of the Air features two radio broadcasters, beginning with WIMS owner and morning host Rick Federighi, and next, longtime region reporter for Chicago's WBEZ and off-mic on Lakeshore Public Radio, Michael Puente. Our spotlight is on the Depot's holiday sale, November 20th and 21st, with Nancy Schwab and Susie Vance.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight. They've both been with us before and talking about their upcoming events, the holiday show and sale. We have Susie Vance, who's president of the Depot there, and Nancy Schwab, who's the gift shop director. And they're going to tell us about what's coming up in November. Welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Welcome, Susie and Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, Nancy, we'll start with you. You have an event that's coming up because the Depot, I think, is now closing for the season at the end of this month, end of October.
Right.
So they're already closed. So, but we have a special event that you do every year. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a holiday show and sale, November 20th and 21st. That's Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5 and 11 to 3 on Sunday. Where it's a chance for people to get a jump on their holiday shopping. We are going to feature primarily local artists and artisans with their work. And these are things, artists who are not necessarily shown in our gift shop year-round, although many are. We have Susie Vance, who's with us today, who weaves with fiber beautiful hats and scarves, and she's going to have quite a few, and they're really art pieces on their own. Dale Nichols is a local Beverly Shores resident who works with wood. He's going to have beautiful charcuterie boards and menorahs, candlesticks, and he also has a fabulous table that he's making out of raw wood. Karen Brown, who I think you're all familiar with, is a local artisan who works with glass, and she's going to have quite a few ornaments. Kathy Forsley makes beautiful felt journals and bookmarks. She has some incredible luminaires that are made from felt. Mary Parks is doing these incredible centerpieces with pieces of art around them dipped in gold glitter that are terrific. Irene Brown, who manages our gift shop, is making beach glass Christmas trees. Judy Lynn is a local artisan from Valparaiso, and she's making wonderful journal books out of paper. Beautiful, beautiful. And we have Santa Claus, who's coming for the kids. And we're going to have carolers on Saturday.
So, Nancy, I have a question. What percentage does the gallery take of the sale? If artists want to put their work
commission.
In. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
30% commission.
And this is our fundraiser. This makes it possible for us to do a lot of the things that we do. So we are grateful to the artists who contribute.
So Nancy, are you going to, You're going to do it like you did with the 5x5, where they can also look online for these objects, or is it going to be all in person?
We're happy to be all in person, all in person. And so there are many, well, all these products are not going to be necessarily on the website. So it is a chance. They have to get in there that weekend in order to pick some of these up.
But that doesn't mean they can't go to our website and buy something.
Something else. Right. Right. Right.
That'll
right.
support us too.
Right. Right. And across the street, the Dunes Women's Club is also going to have fresh greenery and baked goods. So it's really a nice town event as well.
For Beverly Shores. Well, Susie, let's go over to you. You know, the season is closed there for the regular season, except for the holiday show on the 20th and 21st of November. So what do we have looking forward to opening in the 2022 season? When you open and some of the artists you might have planned for that?
Well, we always have our 5x5, which is going to be fantastic. And we always like to have some new people who haven't maybe had exposure before. So we're having a young man named Robert Nelson who does some fantastic caricatures. It's just really wonderful. And lots of different artists. It's really going to be a fun year.
Excellent. Now, Nancy, are you going to, what plans do you have for the gift shop outside of the holiday season coming up with or going in person? I know I've stopped by and seen Irene briefly and how she's running, but tell us what you got in mind.
Always looking for more ceramicists. I love ceramics personally, so I'm always looking for others. So if there are other artisans out there, please contact me. And then jewelry, quite a bit of jewelry. That's some that is made with beach glass and crinoids, and also, again, ceramic jewelry. Anneke Decker is going to be making us more necklaces. She works with beads that she finds from all over the world and does fabulous statement pieces, statement necklaces. So that's very exciting. And Karen Brown will be making beautiful garden sculptures that are like 4 feet high, made out of glass.
And Nancy, how do people contact you?
Thank you for asking. Contact us at info@bsdepot.com. That's our email address to find out more information, but also go on to bsdepot.com for the holiday sale. Click holiday and you'll find out all about it. Originally, I had the deadline for the artist to submit this weekend, but I am extending it for 1 week. I've had several contact me and say, I can't get it done by that time. So we'll be setting up that following week to get ready.
Okay. Susie, tell us how you can find the depot, where it's located, and you know, information about that. I know it has a separate website.
It's located at 525 Broadway in Beverly Shores. Its website, which also includes the gift shop, is bsdepot.org, O-R-G. And we encourage artists who are not familiar with the place or who have become familiar and now would like to consider exhibiting to fill out the forms on the website and submit them, and we'll consider their work for future shows.
Well, thank you so much for being on Art in the Air Spotlight. That's Susie Vance, president of the Depot, and Nancy Schwab, who's the gift shop director there. And it's going to be the holiday show sale there at the Depot, November 20th and 21st. Don't miss it. Thank you for being on Art in the Air.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Our next guest has a long, successful radio career in Chicago, award-winning traffic reporter. Before coming to Indiana, he's the general manager and owner, which is what all radio people aspire to, of WIMS Radio, a talk radio station in Michigan City. And he also has other stations there. You can hear him every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Please welcome to our show on Art of the Air, Rick Federighi. Welcome, Rick.
Woo!
Aloha.
Great to be here with both of you. It is a great day to be alive, and I so appreciate you guys having me on today. Thank you.
Oh, we appreciate you coming on. You know, after you
it's
just
our own mornings with Rick.
Yes. After you do your morning scent. Well, Rick, our audience may not know anything about you, believe it or not. And so we'd like you to tell them about him. I always like to phrase it like how you got from where you were to where you are. So tell us your story.
You know, as a young kid, came from a family of six children. And it was, you know, real cool, middle-class family, that typical three-bedroom, one-bathroom, Catholic school, very regimented, but we were all about, you know, family bonding, going to church every week, all that fun stuff. But I will tell you what I love about the way my parents and our family, kind of how we did things, was we were able to do things in our family that we wanted to try something, we were able to do it. So you have like my two brothers who are my partners, Marco and Scotty. They are my silent partners for the radio station, wonderful men. They have other business ventures and other things. We'll talk about them in a little bit. I have a couple of sisters. My one sister passed from leukemia at the age of 6. So always with us, though, as a family. But you look at life, and it's funny because I tried everything out. I was that, I wrestled, I did basketball, I did baseball, t-ball, softball, football. I was terrible at all sports. The one thing I loved doing, and my mother as an altar boy, we should say, when you're up on that altar, you are such a good young man. But she would then in the next breath say, Rick Federighi, you make up for all 6 of my kids, because I was that crazy rebel, right? So, but I loved, you know,
I'd like to talk to everybody.
Yeah, were you always the one that energized, always talking. Yeah. But I will tell you, it was neat to see things evolve, because as a young man in school, you know, second, third grade, I picked up the guitar, and I had wonderful nuns and wonderful teachers that bonded with all of us. So long story short, I started playing guitar for the children's masses from fourth grade to eighth grade. And then obviously I went to public high school. We were able to choose where we wanted to go. I chose to go to public high school because I wanted to try something different in life. And I had a vision of what I wanted to do anyways. But, you know, the whole love for radio, TV, entertainment, music, the arts, especially theater, was something that I loved and I still do to this day. And that's something that I hope people will educate their children and grandchildren on, things that are out there in the world for all of us to explore. And so I say that when it comes to children, not everybody wants to go to college. Not everybody wants to do A, B, or C, or they, you know, they might want to be in the trades, or they want to do something else. Let them follow their dreams. And that's exactly what I did. So following that whole musical thing and then rolling into high school, I started DJing, doing, you know, different types of gigs, weddings, corporate events, thematic parties, all kinds of stuff. And I was doing that in my freshman and sophomore year. When I got to my sophomore year, all the guys that I was working for were making big money. I'm like, wait a minute here. These guys are paying me like next to nothing. I love you guys if you're watching or listening. But I, at that point, said to myself, you know what? I'm going to form my own company. At that point, formed Girard Productions. And still to this day, all these decades later, still do voiceover work, commercial work, corporate gigs, you know, all kinds of stuff. A lot of different levels to it, obviously, as the years have gone on. But I love what I do. And then that took me into from high school, because I was in different bands and I was almost able to graduate as a young junior in my first semester, because I did work programs because I knew I wanted to go to college, and I had to save because my parents couldn't afford to send me to school. And that, this goes back to the 80s. So, you know, 70s, 80s, where, you know, I was that dude that with my brothers, you know, I was doing lawns. I had a paper route. I was working at a family owned restaurant, not my family, but a family owned restaurant behind the scenes, you know, preparing. And really that, you know, took me through, you know, a lot of years, but got into college, and college was very focused on, you know, going to a specific school for radio and working 3 jobs. And at my nice young ripe age of 54 years young, you guys, I'm still working 7 days a week and what I do. Woo!
So Rick, you had said that you had formulated what you wanted to do young. What was that dream? You said you had it very young. And then I want to go back. You started Girard in high school?
I did. And actually, you know, the cool thing about two things there. So I always wanted to be in radio, television, always, my entire life. As a young man, I did a number of different things, kids commercials and a lot of things that are actually really cool to this day, things that I was involved with. But I always wanted to follow that dream. And my dad, God rest his soul, would say, follow it. If that's what you want to do, go for it. And then, you know, you look at some of the other things that are going on. What was the other question that you were asking me?
Girard.
So Girard, my mother, when she was having, and this goes back to that whole background, when she was having, you know, she was pregnant, having babies, she always prayed to St. Girard, which is the patron saint of healthy boys. And so she promised St. Gerard that she would, if she had healthy boys, she would, middle names would be Gerard. So hence Mark Gerard, Scott Gerard, Rick Gerard, Gerard Productions, Gerard Media to this day.
To this and day.
We hold true, and I'm all about my good Lord. So I'm all about it.
Very
it's
good.
So beautiful.
So tell us a little about how you started to get into the biz. I mean, you were a voice in Chicago for quite a few years. That's where a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I remember him from. So tell us a little
WLS,
about that.
I remember.
Thank you. One of the great stations. You know, when I was in when I was going to college, you guys, you know, my focus was obviously, since I was paying for the education, A, I wouldn't miss school. B, I was a commuter student. So back in that time, I went to college 84 to 88. You know, I was working three jobs. I was pulling all-nighters, but I went to North Central College. I actually went out of high school. I went to Columbia College just for that 3 month tier there to take some really cool radio workshop classes. I was trying to figure out which school I wanted to go to, whether it was Columbia or North Central. Great school, Columbia, but I chose North Central because I felt my money was being spent a little bit wiser there. And I was able, the tiebreaker there was, I was able to get on the radio as an incoming freshman doing something, whether it was news, promotions, sports, I did it all. What was cool was they actually, became WONC, which was an award-winning college station still to this day. But not only did I get to be on the air, but I was getting paid to be on the air. So professionally working in the business since 1984, so all 4 years of college. So that's when I started to do that. And then to kind of, Larry, to kind of fast forward about a year and a half, we had a 25th anniversary at the college radio station, and they invited all these huge names from across the country back. And some of the folks happened to be from Shadow Traffic. And one of those wonderful folks is Nancy Keller, who is a huge name for many, many years, many decades. White FM, you know, traffic reporter on TV, just wonderful. I was able to interview her. At that point, I was working at the radio station. I was working in promotions. I was 1 year I was promotions. Another year I was news director. Another year, last couple of years, program director. And so I was really involved with the whole thing. But as a sophomore, we were able to interview these folks. Well, I actually was then able to be introduced to her boss, Rick Cervaka, Barry Butler, who's a huge name, and of course, Gary Lee. And I went downtown, did an internship as a sophomore, got that position, and then for the next couple of years, was working behind the scenes as a producer and different things. But a wonderful thing and a wonderful break that led to someone not showing up to work in Chicago. And they always say, you might get that break. That happened to young Rick Federighi as a young tyke in the business. So it was really cool.
Yeah, finding the breaks. When I advise people in theater, I says, you know, and I think Woody Allen's attributed this quote, 80% of success in show business is showing up and being there. So, and I think that's very true.
I agree with you.
So tell us about some of your legacy through the different stations you worked at before you came out here to Northwest Indiana.
Absolutely. So, you know, when I got hired at Shadow Traffic, it was funny. The one young lady did not show up to work, and I was doing a late night overnight shift. We were on the 94th floor of the Hancock. So that view was gorgeous because we look at all the expressways and Lakeshore Drive and different things. And they were doing at that point. Now, you guys would remember this. You're both young, but you might remember this. The traffic on the ones on WMAQ was like, traffic on the ones, holy cow. And that exploded throughout the country. So we were providing them, Shadow Traffic was providing probably about roughly 65 to 70 radio stations with their traffic content and other content, and then obviously other things. So WMAQ at one point said, let's go to blah, blah, blah. I won't say the person's name. I love you, though, Ruth Ann. Let's go to this person on the air. And she wasn't there, and I was the only person there producing. So I went to the mic, and at that exact moment, I go, and blah, 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 blah. So for the next few hours, I not only was on the radio in Chicago, I recorded myself. It just so happened that my boss, Rick, Barry, Gary, everybody was listening with the big wigs from MAQ. And then it catapulted me straight into a shift being hired. And it took me through treks. But man, some of the stations I worked on, see Shadow, I was always in management. And in my traffic career for all those decades, I was always on the air and in management. So at any given time through my career, I would be on seven radio stations, and then I would be on two TV stations. And then you were constantly filling in. So I did everybody from, you know, BEZ to GCI to, you know, WMAQ, and then fun stations, you know, like stations where you can be yourself and interact. So, you know, I might be on Will Rock up north and I'd be crazy with Tom and playing guitar. Next one would be like Stoic Ricky on WMAQ. And you know what I mean? So, but it was really, really great. But so I worked that shadow on a variety of stations there. I was a jock for a while it was around. I was Spaz on the Rock. Can you imagine? The guy said, we love you, Rick Federighi, but everybody knows you for Traffic. Name one thing that you are, and that'll be your name. And I'm like, dude, like Spaz. So I was Spaz on the Rock on the era that Mancow came in,
right,
and was doing morning. So it was weird. So I'd go into the Hancock. It was like the 37th floor. We were at 35th, something like that. Go and do my shift late night overnight, take the elevator straight up to the 94th. So I'd do my last break and I'd be off the air at, like, let's say 5:20. At 5:29 or whatever it was, or on the ones, 5:31, I was on MAQ. I'd be ready to rock, you guys.
But it so suits your personality.
I love it. So I worked at the Rock as Spaz. I worked at WTMX in my era. I worked at Y108, which was a huge suburban station in Chicago. The Wabbit, which was epic. In fact, yeah, when I worked at the Wabbit in the Northwest suburbs, which is 1039, there's a 1039 in Northwest Indiana. I had said, why don't we buy, as young kids, why don't we buy the Wabbit? Because it was up for sale for like next to nothing, like $800,000 in that time. Now it's millions. Right. And I said, let's pair it with 1039. Well, they did that, another set of owners. But WLS with Don and Roma, one of my favorite eras of radio. But I've worked with, I was
The Loop,
host for Chicago Street Talk for years at The Loop under Greg Salk, who was one of those guys that I always wanted to work for. He's a dude that started out with Steve and Gary and worked his way up the chain. And now he's epic. He's a huge dude in the world of radio and media. But I love it. I love what I do. And then I came out here, guys, about 15 years ago. I bought with other partners. I had my brothers and another set of partners. I bought WJOB and WIMS. JOB's out of Hammond, Indiana. About a year into that venture or so, we split. And I took WIMS with one signal, AM 1420, and built upon that signal. It's 15 years coming up. What's going on?
I know.
Am I getting old, Larry, or what?
That's fantastic.
Blink.
So 15 years. And in that 15 years, we have AM 1420, 95.1 FM, 106.7 FM, Valparaiso, the TuneIn app. And then we added another tier of stations up in Benton Harbor, St. Joe, WHFB. So very proud of it. And I thank the good Lord. I'm all about it.
Yeah, that's excellent. So some of the people we probably know, Stephen Haas, do you remember him from Traffic?
Stephen, I loved pieces. In fact, Stephen is in Florida right now, and I'm always right. kind of Facebooking him, telling him, dude, you look fantastic. He's one of those great men that was a staple in the industry, just a wonderful guy all the way around, and a great mentor to the next generation. So right. absolutely love him to pieces. True talent.
Yeah, we connected. He used to do a little thing called Spectrum for – it was actually a TV thing for Purdue. Then Calumet, and I was on it a couple times for a theater thing. So, and we stay connected on Facebook and everything like that, see him and that. And then Jackie Swike, I think you might have run into her also.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, all these names, what you see, and you guys know this, Esther, you know, you look at some of these folks and they're here one day and then they move up the chain and it's like now it's 37 years later and it's like – I just love what I do. I wake up every day and say, thank you. And I try to make a difference every day. And I go with the flow. And you got to have a good soulmate, whoever that significant other right. is. If you have one, that person has to understand your groove because it's a weird world.
It is. Really is. And one other one I go way, way back to is Pam Riesmeyer.
Pam, on the golden days of WMAQ, I'm so glad you brought her name up. She was one of those wonderful women in my world as a young man in broadcasting. So it was Pat Cassidy, Pam Riesmeyer, Don Nelson, another Northwest Indiana man and a huge radio dude, myself. And there was a handful of other folks that were the morning team at WMAQ when I was doing Traffic on the Ones for years. Pam, awesome talent, just straight out, wonderful, wonderful, great, beautiful voice, wonderful soul, lover.
Well, see, I knew her from the Lowell station back in my long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I worked for the Maryville Police Department. She and I would do the morning, you know, they always check in with us, see what the things are. And that's how I knew her way back in the 70s when I was doing that. So,
wow.
And did you ever work for WSDM, the station with the girls, or do anything for them, like Denai Alexander and...
No, you know what? And a lot of the stuff when I was doing like the GCIs and the V103s of the world and some of those properties, that would be more so in my traffic era.
Right.
So we would be providing them with traffic and stuff. But at that point, not those guys. And but a lot of those, again, some of those names you mentioned, you meet and work with through
different
projects and incarnations.
Well, let's travel to the present and all your collaborations locally, because whenever anybody says Rick Federighi, guaranteed there's going to be a smile. And then the next thing they say is boundless energy. So you're emceeing. I mean, you had a long history with Hoosier Star and doing the, you know, you're emceeing all over. So can you speak about the collaborations? I mean, WIMS has given you quite the platform to be able to be involved really deeply in the community, and you take that to heart.
And I'm glad you brought that up. And you guys know our focus here and the vision here when we came to IMS and obviously HFB, same way we roll. We're live and local. We are totally entrenched in the community, however we can be. So I think after, you know, working in Chicago and doing all my gigs and still performing, it was just an extension of what I was already doing. But even in such a deeper rooted area, you know, you had mentioned Hoosier Star. We've been with them since, you know, pretty much day one since we've been here. But whether I was a judge or a host for 5 years or an in-kind sponsor, a sponsor like I am, you know, we currently are working with Tim King, who's absolutely phenomenal.
He's wonderful.
We have him on regularly. In fact, he's one of the few people we have scheduled to do our spotlight segment seven all for the entire season. So
he's so delightful.
He so loves another, like all of us, we love what we do. He's got a passion for the arts, the music. And anybody that's out there, if you've never seen a symphony perform, any range of music, eclectic, it could be blues, it could be rock, it could be classical, go see a symphony, educate yourself, culture yourself, your children, your family. It's absolutely beautiful. But, you know, whether it's a parade or making a difference event, or hosting different things, or it's a, you know, outside brew fest, whatever it may be, we love to be a part of our community, you know, whether it's the Great Lakes Grand Prix or, you know, all things and points in between. We just love to be out there, and there's room for everybody. I've said that since day one. There's a lot of neat people doing a lot of good things in these communities, but we try to keep those dollars, you guys get it, live and local. You know, we try to, how can we help? How can we help each other in small business? Even with the crazy pandemic, you know, what can we do to make a difference? What can we do to kind of help your business out? Our business is going to be different.
And what's your philosophy of radio? You've kind of touched on that, but you know, what would you do? I guess you could say this is Rick giving the advice to the young would-be broadcaster about their philosophy and how to get into the biz and you know, things like that. Your influences.
Okay, so I would say first thing, always follow the dream. In my world, and still to this day, at 54 years young, you are going to have the naysayers, those people that are going to say, oh, whatever. There were people all along the way that would say to me, even getting into radio, being in radio in my early years, you know, I was working 3 jobs, working nonstop 7 days a week. It didn't matter. As long as I was able to jock on the air, do great things, have fun behind the scenes, learn every position. So I would say follow the dream, number one. Number two, if you're going to go into a business, and this, whether it's radio or whether it's any kind of a business, learn all aspects of it. So as I was coming up through the years, whether it's promotions, news, street reporter, musical, concerts, behind the scenes, everything that you can do and wrap your arms around, all those years of being downtown and all those years of, you know, doing things behind the scenes and holding different positions, all were making me ready to rock and roll to be an owner. And I still to this day learn every day. I listen to myself every day. If I'm on Facebook Live or I'm doing something, I watch myself to see, how can I be better? What can I do better? But I also promised the good Lord that as I come up, as people were wonderful to me, give people a chance. Listen, people that work here, that intermarriage, it's not an internship. It's a real thing. You're going to go out to the events and help me. You're going to help me in the promotion department. You're going to write.
I can attest to that.
Right. You know what I mean? You're going to do commercials. I want folks to learn, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to always be here. And, you know, thinking back 37 years ago, you know, when you're downtown and you're making great money and whatever you're doing, you know, you fast forward and you say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be, I hate to use the word wiser or old, but the next generation, you know, they look at a guy my age and say, you know, even though you've been around the block and you've got some great stuff there, I can hire 3 kids for, you know, one of you. Oh, that's great. But you want to know what I find is that you're going to get 110% from people like us.
Right.
And we love what we do. But, you know, following the dream and making sure that, you know, you try all aspects of it and really being very, very diverse in what you do, because you may find that, oh, yeah, I really think I want to be on there. And then all of a sudden you're behind the scenes, you're in production, or you're recording bands, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is like what I want to do. Awesome. That's what you do.
Well, then you always try to make a difference in everybody else's life. I know you do personally. So,
yes.
And you have the forum to do it.
I think that's something that we all, no matter what your background is and what your feeling is, and even if you weren't brought up that way, whether you're with your significant other, your family, whoever it may be, family and friends, try to get out there and make a difference and have some fun. So, you know, I love it, but I like that question.
Tell us any future dreams or plans you have. We have about a minute or so left.
I'm going to say I love the good Lord. Thank you to my beautiful wife for being there for 38 years. I love my 2 daughters, Carly and Devin. Buy more radio stations. Stay young. Stay energized.
You hear that, Norma?
I love life. And Norma's like, what? And I thank my brothers, my family, and the partners and the people like yourself. You guys get it. We love what we do. It's it.
Well, real quick, tell us a little bit about how to listen to you on air and like websites and how to contact Rick Federighi.
Radio stations.
Thank you. It's Rick, R-I-C, at WIMSradio.com. You can check us out on AM 1420, 95.1, 106.7. The TuneIn app's brilliant for WIMS and WHFB. String that bad boy around the world. WIMSradio.com, WHFBradio.com, and you can always call me at 630-975-0970. I've had that number for decades. You could call all you want and prank. I don't care.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. That's Rick Federighi, longtime successful radio career in Chicago, but now based in Michigan City and actually a community advocate there.
Beautiful person.
And we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. Rick, thank you so much.
Have a great day, guys. Thanks for everything.
Aloha.
Aloha.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air a voice that you probably have heard on WBEZ, recently seen on WTTW, and of course on Lakeshore Public Radio. He's got an over 30-year career in journalism and print, freelanced in a lot of local papers throughout Indiana into Illinois, and he's been doing lots of things in terms of reporting that's current with us. You can also hear him on off mic on Lakeshore Public Radio as well as WBEZ. He's earned many, many awards, which we'll talk about. Please welcome to Art in the Air, Michael Puente.
Hey, Larry, and hi, Esther. Thank you so much for having me on there. I've been in journalism for almost 30 years. I hate to admit it, 15 years with WBEZ, but then I had a whole life in print before that.
Well, great. Yeah. But anyway, tell us a little bit about growing up, everything. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now, your entire journey, family, schools, and things like that.
Oh, wow. My God. Almost like, where do you begin? Well, you know, I'm a product of Northwest Indiana. I grew up in East Chicago in Indiana Harbor. My dad was a steel worker at Inland Steel, worked there for 42 years. My mom was basically a stay-at-home mom, but she had odd jobs here and there. She was a lunch patron in the public school system for a long time. But, you know, she always did something to try to provide extra for the family. I got 2 older brothers and a younger sister. And, you know, it's funny that growing up, I had always, you know, journalism kind of always stuck to me, or acting. I kind of enjoyed acting, but I was always kind of a kid who always wanted to be the first to tell my family of something going on, or I wanted to be one of those kids in the rare occasion where the teacher would say, hey, you kids don't listen to the news. You don't know what's going on. I'd be like, I listen to the news all the time. You know, there was never a question that came up, whether I was in 6th grade or 10th grade, that if a teacher, you know, would say what's happening in the news, you know, as they do now, you know, sometimes they might, you know, kids are off doing all kinds of things, listening, you know, to music and dating and all that. They may not have time to sit down and CNN or or want to, or NPR or whatever. But I did at the time. Well, not necessarily NPR, but the local newspapers and the local TV stations.
Michael, was that a family thing? Did you sit around? Did you discuss things like that as a family?
You know, we always read newspapers. My dad always had a newspaper. So watching him read the newspaper was a thing, looking at the news. I also had a early mentor and a cousin of mine, Teresa Gutierrez, who was a reporter for years at Channel 7, ABC in Chicago. So she was always the kind of the star in our family, who's also from Northwest Indiana. She grew up in Gary, you know, so she was always around, sort of being that very older sister or, you know, cousin. She's definitely a cousin, but just sort of always around her and being in awe of her, because she was Teresa from Channel 7, but she was also down to earth. So I always kind of wanted to be with, like, sort of like that. And early on, I can kind of admit it now because it's kind of happening for me a little bit on some level, but I had always wanted to go into TV and I just never did it. I don't know why. I don't know if I was a little scared to do it. So I always thought at some point I would be, you know, discovered somehow. So I went to IU in Bloomington for a couple of years, was in the marching band. I went to East Chicago, Washington, was in the marching band there. I almost thought I was going to major in music because I love music so much. But then, you know, journalism hit me. You know, there's some personal issues that came about. So I found myself actually going to Calumet College of St. Joseph, where I ended up meeting my future wife. But then, you know, graduate from there. I was, you know, the publisher or the editor-in-chief of the student newspaper. But from there, graduated in 1992, started working as a freelancer for a number of papers for the Times of Northwest Indiana, but worked covering they had an Illinois edition, believe it or not. And I used to write for them, the Daily Southtown. And then I slowly went with the Post Tribune and then spent 11 years there, joined on staff full time in 1995. And back then, you know, you started off as a freelancer. Most writers did, not everybody. Some were good enough to just make staff like right away. I wasn't that good to make staff right away. I was barely good enough to make staff anything. So hired on full time, you know, we would work from home at the time. Now everyone's working from home now, but at the time I kind of had my own office. And it's kind of weird because my whole life has been sort of working, not necessarily alone, but in settings where I'm away from the main news.
Right. On the fringe. Right.
On the fringe. Sort of, mm-hmm. You know, it's been like that most of my career, except for maybe, you know, maybe 8 years with the Post Tribune where I was kind of honed in the newsroom right there. But for the most part, you know, BZ, you know, 15 years, but primarily working out of a bureau. So it's been kind of like that for me. And then, you know, I worked a couple of years at the Daily Herald in Arlington Heights covering the Northwest suburbs, which is really different from Northwest Indiana and even different from, you know, parts of Chicago that I was familiar with. But, you know, have lifelong friends from there and colleagues. And then WBEZ, you know, would always call me when I was at the Post Tribune to talk on air on their shows about corruption in Northwest Indiana, some of the investigations I was doing. So it came about where they said, hey, you know, we may be opening up this Northwest Indiana Bureau. Would you care to man it? And I was like, and at the time I was at the Daily Herald. And it was funny because they would still call me about Northwest Indiana stuff, even when I was at the Daily Herald. I was like, I'm not really covering Northwest Indiana all that much. They go, yeah, but you're really good on air. So we want to keep you on air. So we kept that relationship with them. And, you know, they hired me on as their bureau reporter. And from there, you know, I've been there for 15 years in various roles, not just Northwest Indiana, but, you know, still Northwest Indiana. I don't mind that. I mean, it's what I know. It's an area that I care about and I like to report on. And then earlier this year, you know, TTW contacted BEZ if I would be able to serve as a rotating host for their show Latino Voices, and I've been there. And actually, it's kind of funny. I kind of skipped the whole section. WBEZ used to have a bureau in Chesterton, then Crown Point. We were scaling back, and that's when we decided to try to rent out some space at Lakeshore Public Radio in Merrillville. So when I was there, Tom Maloney, who's vice president of Lakeshore, said, hey, we've got this 11 o'clock slot for a show. If you want to do it, BEC said, sure, you can do it. So that's how Off Mic got started. So that's another one of my things I love doing. It allowed another creative vehicle for me. So I know that's a long-winded answer.
No,
we just started where you get to here, but that's a lot of people kept wondering, how have you gotten from where you're at? It's just really a lot of, I think, some hard work, you know, being at the right place at the right time, persevering. I kind of view myself as a survivor of journalism, because being a journalist right now is tough because there aren't that many jobs out there. It's a lot of downsizing of newspapers. Even WBZ now may be the Chicago Public Media, maybe the owners of the Chicago Sun-Times. So there's so much transition in media. But I also wear the hat as being president of the Indiana Pro Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists. We're an advocacy group, not for profit, and we try to push, you know, journalists to be advocates for them too. Mm-hmm. So, and I teach at Calumet College of St. Joseph now. So actually for the past 10 years. So wear a lot of hats. I'm a member of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. So I'm trying not to forget everything that I'm involved in, but a lot of stuff.
One thing I want to go back to is your Calumet College days. We have a mutual friend when we knew from different eras is Greg Ladd, and how he influenced you in many ways while you were there. My relationship was doing theater with him from the 70s well into the on. But tell us about that, because you and I have talked about that off air.
Greg was one of my, obviously to this day, one of my favorite professors I've ever had. He was very energetic. He was actually more into like filmmaking, but he served as our journalism instructor, our newspaper sponsor, and always very supportive. You know, there is, if people would ask around, I kind of push the envelope a little bit at Calumet College with our newspaper, our coverage, because I try to make it more newsy and less student newspaper-ish, where we would actually try to cover hard news. And sometimes I would ruffle the feathers of the powers that be at Calumet College. But we'd get some criticism, actually really big pushback from the dean to other professors, like, what is Mike doing? It's crazy. But I didn't see the student newspaper as a public relations vehicle for the school. I looked at it as a training ground for students. And Greg always had my back. I still have a letter that he wrote about me to, actually he wrote it to Teresa, my cousin, saying Mike just has a presence about him. I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to boost myself up, but he was trying to express to Teresa how happy we are to have Mike at Calumet College, and it meant a lot to me. And I think about Greg a lot. He's not with us anymore.
No.
But he was really one of the, you know, one of my early mentors, and I'll always appreciate him.
Well, so I'm going to go back to high school for a second, or maybe even middle school, Michael. So did you work on the paper then?
Any I did not. I was in the marching band a lot. I played a few sports things, but I was not in yearbook or the newspaper. Our newspaper at East Chicago, Washington was called the Senatorial, and I wasn't involved with it. I have no idea why. I think it was just I wasn't, you know, I guess back then I had maybe an inclination to go into journalism, but it just wasn't one of the activities I did.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
It's kind of interesting. We have fathers with who have told us similar things. My father always emphasized that there are so many different sides to a story. And look at things in all sorts of ways. And we do that in art too. It's like an art training as well. You look at it upside down, top down, inside out. And that was like one of my father's most valuable things to teach me, is like, there are there aren't just two sides to a story.
Oh, my dad too. He would say that too. My dad was a steel worker. He barely had graduated from high school. But he was a lover of books. He was a lover of history. And he would always say that. He says, Mike, there are two sides to every story, sometimes several sides to every story. And he was one of my, I view him as one of my journalism instructors, because there was a time when I was covering East Chicago for the Post Tribune, and we were doing some tough investigative reporting in East Chicago. And some of the stories actually wrapped up friends that he knew, people he knew growing up, and people who were friends of his who I may not have made look very good in the newspaper. And I would tell him, Dad, you know, I don't want your friends to get mad at you. I don't know if I told him I'd stop, but I said, I hope this isn't putting you in a tough position. And he goes, Mike, if you're telling the truth, nobody should be angry with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live by that.
Mine would say, like, words can lead to action, and then action leads hopefully to the process of change. So you have to start with those words. You know,
the late Bob Pastrick, who I grew up kind of liking. I lived close to his house. He was a really nice man. He would give out a lot of great Halloween candy. But growing up, I mean, he had his issues as mayor of East Chicago. There were some corruption allegations. And he once told my dad, he goes, I know you have a son in journalism. He's at the Post Tribune. How is it that, you know, for a long time, I did not cover East Chicago? And I thought that was a good thing. I didn't really want to cover my hometown. Although at the time, back in the 90s, it was like, you know, East Chicago was sort of the center of the universe when it comes to politics in Northwest Indiana. So Bob Pastrick asked my dad, you know, it's shameful that your Michael's not covering East Chicago. He knows it. My dad told him, I don't think you want Michael covering East Chicago. Be careful what you wish for. And it happened. And, you know, stories got out. And, you know, if people have microfilm, I don't even know if those stories are online, but we did a lot of work on the sidewalk corruption scandal, the all kind of political appointments. And but overall, the late Bob Pastrick was good to me overall. But, you know, as a reporter, you got to do some tough stories sometimes.
I'm going to segue to something silly, actually. I'm going to ask you a really silly question, and you don't have to answer it. But
I'll try to.
So I had read that when you first started out in journalism, let's say, you dressed as you thought a journalist should be decked out. I'm so interested to know what that was. What did you, I mean, like, I think of Phil Potemka in his fedora, you know, going.
You know, when I was younger, I remember when I was a freelancer, this was before I was a staff writer at the Post Tribune. I was working for the Times, and I had this idea that I still wanted to be a TV reporter. So I was a cover reporter, and there were a couple of mundane park board meetings I would have to cover in Linwood or Crete. And here I'm coming in like a three-piece suit, like I'm Chuck Gowdy, you know, just all decked. And people look at me like, dude, you know where you're at. You know, this is like, this is the Linwood,
Notice though,
you know, and, you know, I've always tried to keep a nice appearance and everything. But back then it was like, I wanted to play the role of a newspaper reporter. And, you know, really, and I shouldn't just credit this to TV reporters. Back in the day, newspaper reporters dressed the part. You know, I happened to be one of my other mentors, and maybe I'm not sure if they view themselves as mentors. When I was a younger reporter at the Post Tribune, I worked alongside Bill Dolan and Rich James. And I know those are older names that Bill still writes for the Times. But at the time, he's with the Post Tribune, always wore a shirt and tie and a jacket. Same with Rich James. Just, you know, they were a newspaper man, newspaper person, you know, this decked out, you know, looking like they're going to a dinner and stuff. This, you know, that was the days before all this casualness. And I just love that about them. You know, they just had, if at the end of the day, you look good, you know, maybe your writings, their writings did not, I was going to use the word suck. I don't know if we can use that, but their writings were great. And they just played the part. And sometimes clothing makes you feel good and professional. So those early days, I remember having my three-piece suit on going to covering a board of zoning board meeting or whatever. And people staring at me like, dude, no.
And yet, one thing I always said is presentation is everything. So it does, you know, like in theater, I said, you know, you can have a mediocre show, but if you present it well, it will do that. I was going to go about the transition.
All right. One other thing. It's better to look good than to feel good.
That's true. That's true. Okay. Well, now you've had your chance with Latino Voices doing some television. And of course, I don't think you have a face for radio. I think you do really well at that. But tell us about the difference in doing like radio things that you've done. And like, for example, like your pieces that you do on radio, you almost basically produce them yourself versus going to something to WTTW and Latino Voices.
You know, it's like, it's so much different because I also describe it like being like Cinderella. Because in radio, you know, in my role as a reporter, you know, I'm calling people, I'm cutting the tape, I'm pretty much doing everything. And even with off mic, it's really labor intensive because, you know, I'm my own producer, or I used to have student producers. This season, I don't have any. So it's even more on me when I'm taking on even more work at WBEZ. So but you go to TTW and it's still like this, but really the first day, 2 days, you know, sometimes you forget how many people, I forget how long I've been on the air. And like we were just talking a little bit, I think maybe off earlier, that, you know, I just sometimes don't feel the feedback on certain what I do. Sometimes it goes in one ear out the other. Sometimes you may get a comment or two on Facebook. People say they like your stuff, but you don't really feel that all the time. When I got into TTW, walking through there, I was a little nervous going there, but everybody knew who I was. They're like, Michael Puente coming, Michael Puente coming. You know, because they're also tied to WFMT. And right. You go through there, and people are like, I was the star. So you got to go. And then it's like, okay, Mike, let's go through your script. And I have some fabulous producers working on my segments. So it's literally almost just getting in, looking good, going through your, you know, you got to go through the script and pronouncing of names. And so you want to be coherent on that. But it's like you're slipping into this role. And it's like, okay, Mike, it's time for makeup. So you go into, they turn up, put on the makeup, all the lights, you have the green room, and then you come on out, you feel like Jimmy Fallon. It's like you have all this, and you try to be yourself, you try to be credible, and especially, you know, it's the home of Phil Ponce. You know, I grew up with him, idolizing him. He's from East Chicago. He's one of my mentors, and even if I didn't know him, you know. So you wanna do your family proud because you're stepping into those. I'm not saying I'm stepping into Phil Ponce's shoes, but, you know, there, you know, I known him a little bit, and there has been a couple of times where he's been there. While there was one day where he was finishing up a piece and I was coming in, and it's like these two East Chicago guys mixing and mingling. And it was just amazing. But they do make you feel so special. I can't say that enough. And then once it's over, it's like, poof, 12 o'clock. It's time to go back
to your
job as a radio reporter. And no makeup. The makeup comes off. Take off.
Well, I have to say you're perfectly pressed on those, you know, like everything's
maybe
so
too much. I always feel like I look. And it is nerve wracking. I got to say that just in looking at yourself, and you're trying to look good, and, you know, you're trying to lose weight, and I don't want to be too stiff. And I was like, oh, that's the first time. It goes back to when I first started at WBEZ that first week when I heard myself on the air, and I go, oh my God, why'd I go into radio? I hate my voice, you know? And then now I'm like, oh, when I go into this TV thing, I just hate the way I look. So we're all we're overly critical of ourselves, right? When we hear, see whatever, we're our own worst enemy. So I try to put it in stride. My family says, oh, you do a great job. And, you know, they seem to like
it. You do a great job, yeah. Michael.
I have to
you
say,
really do.
Yeah, objectively, I you know, and I'm a
I
fan.
I should say on air too, I love off mic. I told you that off air, but you. I do.
And objectively, you know, you do a great job, which leads me to this, is if a slot came open at TTW to do television more often as reporter, you think you might make that move?
I really can't say. Yeah. That's like a wholly separate conversation.
A different level of Cinderella.
Right.
Yeah, different level of Cinderella. I don't know if they're going to go that far. And you know, I'm happy with the role I'm at now. And I still love WBEZ. So, you know, have to cross that bridge when we get there, if it gets there.
Well, we just have about a minute left. Do you have a website or any information on how people can get a hold of you?
No, I don't. Well, I have a Facebook page, but I also have a professional page. So if you look up Michael Puente, I'm bound to come up there. I usually try to put all my work on there that I'm associated with NPR, WBEZ, Lakeshore. I even do some magazine writing for Indiana Business Magazine, Northwest Indiana Business Magazine. So anything that's associated with me, I put on there. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I probably should have my own website at this point, but I haven't. That's just another thing.
It's another thing.
Another thing to do.
Like, yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air and sharing that. You can catch on Fridays at 11 a.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1, Michael Puente off mic. You can see him hear him quite often on WBEZ and then on Latino Voices on WTTW. He's a rotating host there. And, of course, he's from Northwest Indiana, one of our own. Michael, thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air and sharing your journey.
Thank you Larry so much,
and
Michael.
Esther, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And all the love and feedback you've given me, it's really appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP. Art in the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. Underwriters for Art in the Air, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. Information about Art in the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world.